Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Hoops! I got you there. This is how we kick off the QPR fan show. You are listening to the QPR fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with the Ranger Things boys. I never met Gav Lawson. Nah, it's 2 weeks running, you know. It's just like London buses. Gaz decided to join us again. Can't even get my words out. I'm that excited he's here. Well, as always, you can have your say. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. So much to talk about where QPR are concerned. And we're going to be talking everything about the R's because there has been 2 games since we last spoke. We'll do a review of that 3-0 defeat to Cardiff, but they are unbeaten at home. Then we'll be talking about that brilliant Blackburn victory and also a great guest later, Dan Bennett, the QPR reporter for the Brent and Kilburn Times, will be joining us. But this is the QPR fan show. We've already been joined by a caller. I'm delighted to say joining us on the phone now, calling almost immediately into the studio, it is Aid. I'm delighted to say AD. AD's joined us. Sorry there. The QPR, 2 brilliant victories. What did you make of the game against Blackburn on the weekend?
Yeah. Just quickly, just the pronunciation of my name is actually Ade.
Ade, excuse me. I'm so sorry.
You know, there's many footballers. There's Ade Akinbaye. There's Ade Akinsewa. There's Ade Bayo. You know, we're all interrelated. It's a popular African name, anyway, Nigerian name.
There you go. You know? Shame on me.
We live and learn.
Yeah. Live and learn.
Well, I'm an avid QPR fan. You know, my uncle used to play for QPR in the 50s, by the name of Tunde Balogun, you know. So his nickname was Thunderbolt. So I followed QPR, you know, because I came on tour in Nigeria in 1972, 73. And, I followed their progress ever since, you know, even when I came to this country. So I'm really, really impressed because I was a bit sceptical about Mark Warburton, and I reckon because we got Naki Wells and Jojo Yugo, we may have unearthed the secret to what the championship is about. Because as you know, it's a relentless league, and the secret is to have 2 goal scorers. Once you've got that, I think we're halfway there. Apart from a few defensive flaws, because we've shipped a lot of goals. If they couldn't address that, I think it's doable. Yes, definitely. Playoff or even automatic. Yes.
Well, Addy, I think you're completely right because you look at it, QPR are 9th, but they're only 3 points off the top of the table. You know, in this championship, anyone can beat anyone. You have the goal scorers there. It's going really well under Mark Warburton. How impressed have you been so far with his start to the season?
Well, very, very impressed. I think comparison to what McLaren did, I think we've picked up more points at this stage than we were last season, you know. For a fact, we've won more games away from home. We've already won 3. You know, as you say, the league is quite congested, you know. Considering most of the game, especially at Cardiff, we were well into it, you know. Just lost, you know, considering we dominated the possession, you know. And they had the chances. So there you go. That's no one-up team for you, you know. Less possession, but they graft out and win the game, you know. So we've been quite unlucky, and so we could shoot by right after slightly a few more points. We might well be top of the table already, you know. So it's looking very, very good, you know.
And Addy, you mentioned your dubious about Warburton, and he's obviously come in and done a great job. What were you unsure about him?
Well, I wasn't just sure, you know, because I spoke to a few other QPR supporters in my area here in Northwest London, and they weren't too sure about him, you know. But obviously, apart from, like I said, slight defensive flaws, the rest of the team, the midfield is very good. Like I just mentioned Hugo and Naki Wells, you know. A lot of players were brought in, and one thing we got to advantage, I think we got the strength in depth, because some of the players that Mike Warburton brought in haven't even featured. You know, players like Wallace, players like the guy from Liverpool, I forgot his name, McMaster, something like that, and some other players, so they haven't featured. So the strength in depth is there, you know. for a long slow for the season. So I'm looking forward to it.
And Addy, it's good to see some of the youngsters finally coming through, because you've been watching QPR for a long time, and it's been a long while since we had some youth coming through as well. That's quite exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, the players like Ibri Ese. I'm impressed with Elias Chair. You know, very, very impressive with him. You know, Brad Samuel. Well, he'll get there. You know, so you know, it looks good. You know, but the difference are going to be Ugul and Welsh. No, I reckon we could, we're in for a good season.
And just how far do you think this team can go? Are they genuine playoff contenders, or is top half enough for this season?
Well, I reckon they can get into at least the playoff. But like I said, I mean, if you look at the championship, 11 games have been played. You know, it's an open division. Preston, you know, I fancy for one of your colleagues mentioned Preston. It's going to be a surprise, you know. I think that the promotion is going to be a surprise.
Well, there's
no standard team.
Addy, you mentioned it was a surprise. How much of a, you know, could QPR get it? We're seeing this year that the championship, that after maybe that one or two top teams, Leeds and Swansea, well, as I say, it's West Brom and Nottingham Forest up there. But after that one or two, it is really anyone's. Why not QPR? Certainly playoffs has to be in the picture for this season, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. You know, I mean, you see, I mean, you could be able to have a slight picture of what the move was in the Shakers. But I leave my comment till about Christmas time. Then half of the season is gone then. But I presume that we were still on the fringe of the top six, you know, we're for only a couple of points. I think we can do it. If we could address the defensive flaw, you know, that we've got at the moment, I think we've got enough strike power, you know, to definitely get into automatic.
Well, we seem to have more strength and depth, because last year, let's not forget, coming into Christmas, we were looking really strong. And then all of a sudden, after the Villa game, the wheels came off, and we just, you know, we were a shadow of the team that we were beforehand. So, I mean, it looks like we've got more strength and depth, and we're more able to change the formation than we were last year. So that's, I think that's positive as well.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, you know, because like I say, I'm an avid QPR. Almost 45 years I've followed it, you know. So
seems
I've seen
like
some
time.
Of the best. I've seen some of the best team in the 70s, Stan Bowles, Don Givens, you know, the team that narrowly missed winning what we call the Premier League today. You know, narrowly missed, lost on the last day to Liverpool. You know, Stan Bowles, Don Givens, a lot of them, you know, so it looks good, you know, to get back to the Premier League after 5 years absence. So it's good.
It is. It's been a brilliant start to the championship season. Addy, thank you so much for calling into the studio. And almost immediately as the show started, we really appreciate you, and thanks for giving us a little bit of your time there. A few things you mentioned. It is doable for the championship, you know, this year, QPR. Why not? You know, after those teams, anyone can beat anyone. We're seeing it now. Just looking at the stats before this international break, you know, you're right up there. You've only won one less game than West Brom, who are top, but it's the goals conceded that are a problem when you look just from a statistical point of view. Would you have to say that you two agree with that? Is that what's causing you most concern, Gareth?
Yeah, I don't think you can do the kind of Kevin Keegan, Ozzy Ardiles football every week and try and outscore your opposition when you run into a team that's strong defensively like we did at West Brom, and we didn't have that kind of collateral to break them down, and then we didn't have the nous to keep the clean sheet. It was another mistake at the back, and let's be honest, we've made a number of mistakes, whether it's penalties given or goalkeeping errors. So you can't keep doing that and expecting to outscore the other team and finish top half. Best teams are probably built on strong defences, and I think Adam is right. You know, we need to strengthen that heart of that defence, and if we want to achieve anything this year in terms of staying top half. But yeah, you can look at the statistics all day long. They're not having a clean sheet. I think there's only us and Luton now that haven't got a clean sheet in the league. So that says a lot. And I think, as Mark Warburton pointed out after the game, if I win 4-2 every game the rest of the season, I'll buy you a beer type thing. Who cares? But it's not realistic, that. So we need to strengthen defensively.
Sure. And also, I mean, it's exciting to watch. We're not drawing games, which is exciting. But we're going to have to, if we're going to realistically finish in the playoffs, we're going to have to learn to grind out boring nil-nils and, you know, and get some draws. But having said that, you know, we've won, what, 6-7 now? We won 7. And the games are exciting to watch. But yeah, there's still a lot to learn in defence. I think we're missing Grant Hall massively. The organisation in the defence just doesn't seem to be there. I mean, Leissner really has stepped up since Hall's gone out the side, which is great to see. But there's more of a maturity across the team now, I think.
There certainly is. Gareth, did you just say you've won 7 games? It's 6.
No, 6. Gareth said that.
Oh, right. Yeah, I thought you was the one that gave him the wrong
stick. 6 fingers, so he gets confused.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I was counting Bristol City in the
Yeah, I thought
well,
you might use that as an excuse, but I'm not taking it. It is 6 games. But were you impressed that, because we haven't really spoke about the games, we got that call, we will look at both of those games, but were you impressed from the 3-0 to Cardiff, then beating Blackburn? That shows the character in this team, the strength, you know, to come back after that, because we've seen it in the Championship. You lose one, then you lose a couple, but, you know, bounce right back to Blackburn, 4-2. It was a great result. Were you pleased in the manner that they got this victory, Gareth?
I think it's the character of the boys. I think it's that when they want to play and they get that freedom to play, which, I mean, Blackburn pressed quite hard, but they didn't do it with the same intelligence that West Brom did. And I think that when they got on the uppers and they realised they could score, I mean, the first half hour was fairly evenish. And when we got the goal, they kind of then got that confidence and they looked like they could kind of score every single time they went forward. And the quality was there. I think the first goal, I think it was 19, 20 passes. And I think the big change, well, we haven't spoke about this in terms of conceding goals, but it's protecting that defence. We haven't spoke enough about those holding midfielders. We've had Don Ball in there who's done okay, better than expected to. But I think we need to look at that as well. And you had Cameron in there at the weekend driving forward when potentially we would have gone back if it was Don Ball. And that makes a huge difference as well. So it was an impressive reaction. But Cardiff was such a weird 3-0 defeat, having nearly 70% of possession and losing in that manner. It was weird.
It was a strange defeat. I watched Mark Warburton straight after and he said, is it almost weird to say, I want to say we played really well? And he didn't look embarrassed, but he didn't want to say we played well because everyone goes, leave off, Mike. We've just lost the game 3-0, but you want to talk about how well we played. But QPR did. Possession, hitting the woodwork, chances. But Cardiff are unbeaten at home. But I hate to say this, but it flattered them, didn't it, Gav?
Absolutely. That was a classic
Warnock.
Warnock. Oh, I was going to say Warburton.
The league winning manager.
Warnock. Colin,
you normally
really,
call him.
They had four, I think they had 4 shots on target. We hit the post twice. It could have, you know, one goal, if we'd pulled one back, it could have gone very differently. But I think that they seem to have taken confidence from that 3-0 defeat, which might sound weird, but when they look at it, thinking we were in that game, except, you know, the third one was a complete mishit. It was concerning that the opposition, we seem to give them so much space in the box, particularly since Hall has gone out. And okay, we're missing Barbe and Hall, two of our main centre backs for that game. But it's concerning how much space we're giving them in the box. You know, we saw that again on Saturday.
Well, we're going to be talking all about those games in depth, a proper review of the games. You know, we got a caller. Always delight to have interaction with you, the fans. And you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. It's your team, your voice. But next, we'll be speaking to Dan Bennett.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with the Ranger Things podcast, Gav Lawson and Gareth Dixon. We were just talking a little bit about the games. We're going to go in further detail with those. And delighted to say we had Addy, who called us up to say how he thought QPR had gotten off to a flyer this season. But we need to keep our feet on the ground. There is a lot of points at stake, still a long way to go. But now, though, another man who is in the know and joins us now. It is Dan Bennett, a QPR reporter for the Brent and Kilburn Times. Dan, thank you so much for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. A big win on the weekend beating Blackburn. Not so good last week, and the games are coming thick and fast. But what have you made of Mark Warburton's side so far this season?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys, first of all. But it's been a great start to the season, really. I mean, you know, there's been some ups, and obviously there's been some downs. You know, like you said, with such a new team and a new manager, obviously there's going to be times when it's, you know, it doesn't quite click. But no, they've been very impressive. You know, they showed that against Blackburn on the weekend. He seems to have found a way now to get the most creative players into the team. You know, which is like Eze, Asai Samuel, now Ilias Chair, all playing really well together. So it seems to be going well. And I think, you know, like you said, after the game, it was a really important win for them on Saturday. I think if they'd gone into the international break, you know, having lost 3 games in a row, it would have been not a massive worry, but it would definitely have been a concern, you know, having had such a good run before that. So it's a massive victory, and I think they showed, you know, just how a good attacking side they are this season in that game against Blackburn.
And Dan, how has Warburton gone down with the press? Because for QPR fans, it's quite refreshing that he comes out and he just actually calls it as it is. You know, no nonsense. This is where we're at. And it's really refreshing. There's no kind of like Holloway anecdotes of in taxis and stuff like that. It's Warburton just calling it as it is. Is that good for you guys in the press and the media to capture something? Because it's not necessarily headline news, but it's just talking sense, which is refreshing for us to hear.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I mean, he's sort of the same after a victory as he is after a defeat, to be honest. You know, I spoke to him after, you know, the Swansea game when they were sort of outplayed and, you know, didn't really, you know, fulfil their potential. And he came out and he spoke for just as long as he did after they won. And, he comes out with the same messages. He's very clear in what he wants from the players. And he's very clear in his ideas of how he wants to play. So it is nice to have someone who's, you know, gives time to the press. And like you said, he is very honest in his assessment. If something's not right, he will say, you know, after the defeat to West Brom, he was very honest about how he said his team was sloppy in possession. You know, they didn't really get going. They gave West Brom too much respect. And, you know, it is refreshing to hear someone sort of be straight talking and just come out with, especially from the fans' perspective, what you want to hear, really. It's, he's been very honest about it, which is exactly what you want.
And Dan, he seems to have kind of galvanised the squad in such a way that he's brought the best out of a lot of players who were showing a lot of potential but weren't quite cutting it last season. So, I mean, obviously Eze is one that springs to mind. He's brought Chair through. Also, Naki Wells has come back and seems to be full of confidence. But for me, I mean, the surprise package for me is Ryan Manning. He's up there with our player of the season so far. Played out of position. I mean, he was never really a natural wing back. But yeah, it's been really pleasing to see what he's done for players and given them a lot of confidence.
Yes, Barn. I think Naki Wells and Ryan Manning certainly are the. I mean, Naki Wells, we always knew he was a good player, so maybe not a massive surprise package, but. You know, I spoke to Naki a couple of weeks back and he was the first one to sort of admit that QPR fans didn't see the best of him last season and he really wanted to show what a good player he is. And he's done that so far. He's been exceptional. He's finishing in front of goal. He looks really clinical and he just looks really up for it this season. And the same goes for Ryan Manning. Like you said, I mean, I think most people would have had him down as a midfielder. I think I'm right in saying he played fullback a little bit last season as well.
Yep.
But this season he's been tremendous in that position. I think he's such a good player to have, you know, even if he's going to play in midfield in the future, just in that wide position, because his deliveries are so important for QPR. I mean, he's created the most chances of any QPR player this season. We saw that against Blackburn. I mean, to have a fullback who's such a big attacking threat is a massive bonus, and he's going to continue to create chances for QPR all season. So, and obviously, you know, Mark Warburton's a big fan of Lee Wallace. And, you know, he actually said after the game that he was tempted to put him on in the sort of remaining stages of the Blackburn game, but sort of thought better of it. He didn't want to rush him back. But he's obviously put a lot of faith in Ryan Manning, and Ryan Manning's rewarded him, and he's definitely shown himself to be a massive key player for QPR this season.
Yeah, Eustace put Manning in at Millwall way, I think, at left back, where we had a 0-0, which was a bit of a crucial result for us in terms of where we weren't staying up last season. And he's kind of thrived in there this year as well. And Eze and Chair are getting all the plaudits, and Manning's going about his business and doing it very, very well. What do you make of the... We've toyed with two formations. What do you make of the importance of those two formations? Or is it more about Warburton getting out the best of the personnel he's got?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because I remember in the pre-season game against Watford, I sort of asked him... I think it was about Tony Lyson not really playing in the team, and he sort of said, oh, you know, I'm not going to go five at the back. But he seems to have sort of adapted that in recent games. I mean, he went obviously with the four against Blackburn, and it worked. And I asked him about the formation a few weeks back, and he said that, you know, he's happy to change it depending on who the opponent is. But I think with the five at the back formation, it was quite good, because he sort of had the two, you know, number 10s almost in Eze and Chair. Playing behind the two strikers, which is, you know, incredibly attacking, but he's also got the defensive players in the team as well. But I think with the four at the back, it you know, kind of lets him get another one into there. Obviously, we saw, you know, Chair, Eze and Asai Samuel all play together against Cardiff, and I know you mentioned the Cardiff defeat earlier. They actually didn't play too badly together, but you know, the scoreline didn't really reflect that. But against Blackburn, they linked up really well. you know, as an aside, Samuel obviously got on the score sheet and Cher played really well as well. So I think it depends, really. I think, obviously, if he's going to go with a four at the back, it kind of lets him get that almost another midfielder in there. He seems to want to go with one up front instead. But obviously, the five at the back gives that kind of defensive protection, but it also gives that attacking element to it as well. So I think we'll just see him continue to change it, to be honest, throughout the season, depending on who their opponent is.
And, I mean, you just mentioned with, you know, the three centre-backs coming back after the international break, we've also potentially got Amos coming back as well. And that it's going to be interesting to see who he plays across that extra midfield role, because, I mean, you've got a choice of Scour and Amos, Ball, Cameron kind of filling that role. Do you think Amos should have his place back, or do you think he's really going to have to work for it?
I think he's really going to have to work for it, to be honest. I mean, he was sort of like one of Mark Warburton's first choice before he got the bad injury. I mean, I watched him in the pre-season game against Watford, earlier on, and he was really impressive. He scored twice, and he looked, you know, he was all over the pitch. He had a lot of energy. Even when he came on a couple of weeks back, you know, he came on and he had plenty of energy, and he was darting around the pitch. And I think he's a very talented player, but I think with the way it is at the moment, it's going to be very tough. It's obviously, they got Matt Smith as well in, another player that Mark Warburton really likes from Manchester City. So there's so many options in that position. And like you say, I mean, if he goes with the sort of 4-2-3-1 that he did against Blackburn, it's an opportunity for two. But if he goes with the five at the back, there's only really probably room for one holding midfielder. So it's going to be difficult. But I mean, I think, you know, Mark Warburton himself is really keen to stress that competition for places is a massive part of what he wants to create at QPR. So he'll be really happy that he's got that dilemma, to be honest.
Dan, just quickly, the Championship feels wide open this year, more so than other years in the past. QPR are right up there. What is the aim this year? And realistically, from you following them, what can this team achieve this year?
Well, I think if you'd have asked at the start of the season, a lot of pundits and maybe even supporters were thinking that they wanted to stay up, but that's sort of completely switched now. I think now, the way they've started the season, I think there's no reason why they can't try and push for sort of sixth or fifth in the playoffs. That's got to be the aim. But I think given that they've had so many new signings in the summer, a new manager, there's a lot to adapt. I think a top half finish would be a really good season, especially after how last season went. I think that would be a fantastic achievement from Mark Warburton. But they've certainly got the squad and the players there to have a playoff push. You know, Naki Wells, Jordan Hugo, they've got two excellent strikers that are scoring, Eze and Cher, and obviously Asai Samuel. So they've got the players there to do it. It's just a matter of that consistency, I think, in improving that defensive record as well.
Well, Dan, thank you for joining us tonight on the QPR Fan Show. Really appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Dan. Dan Bennett there, QPR reporter for the Brent and Kilburn Times. He's saying, if we would have asked at the start of the season, and I did ask you to, you know, you didn't know what to expect. We was maybe being a little bit pessimistic, but we are up there, you know, it's getting close. He's saying top half finish. Would you two settle for that now, the way it's gone? I mean, I feel like you're right there, surely. I know you don't want to get carried away, but you have to be looking at playoffs this year, or am I getting ahead of myself, Gareth?
Yeah, I think you are. I think we did it last year. Yep, sorry, Charlie. I think
we did it. I bought in this year.
No. McLaren had a good run last year and everyone got excited about it, and you know, that quickly fell flat after New Year's Day at Villa Park and the rest went downhill. So I think we're kind of just tempering those expectations a little bit, because there's a long season, you know, in the Championship. There's a long way to go. And we need to keep building on what we've done and get the consistency right, as Dan said. Without the consistency, you're not going to get in there. And we are a little bit inconsistent still. You don't know what you're going to get. And it's a lot of expectation on these young players' shoulders.
Well, we've had a tweet into the studio. This is from Paul from Beckenham. Paul, really appreciate that. It says, we need to get behind Warburton. I'm not sure that you're not, but it says, we need to get behind Warburton and the team, as we have good momentum at the minute. We have brilliant team spirit. We just need to keep clean sheets, and we need Lumley to reduce the errors. But so far, so good. Come on, you Rs. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's the first tweet, so we'll have a little celebration poppers. Ooh, for that.
Hoops.
It was good. Callers and tweets.
Callers and tweets. This
Charlie,
is
what are you doing?
I'm taking the QPR. It's not me. Certainly not me.
Celebrity.
Listen, the QPR Fan Show is going viral. We've had a caller. We've had a tweet. You can get involved. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio. Call us on 0208 70 2558. I can't believe my brother has managed to create this account and tweet in, but it's working anyway. No. What did you make, Gav, to what he had to say there, Paul from Beckenham?
Well, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, Lumley's obviously out the side for the moment, which I think the jury's out on that one. I think Lumley was unlucky-ish to lose his place, to be honest. And Kelly has now had two games. He's let in five goals and can't be blamed for any of them. He's not really had to make a save other than those five that went in. And as I said, he couldn't actually be
responsible. He's not had to make a save from the goals that he conceded.
Apart from those, no, he couldn't be held responsible for any of those. I don't think he's particularly commanding his box very well. He does make me a bit nervous, but I'm a Lumley fan as well. We definitely need to start keeping clean sheets. He's absolutely right.
Liam Kelly looks a bit Andy Gorham at sometimes. Like, he honestly, when he there's a goal disallowed on Saturday, and the highlight for me was when Liam Kelly sort of blew a kiss to the linesman for putting his flag up. I thought it was cracking.
Great moment.
It was just amazing.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I had my head in my hand at that point.
And he was running around all over the place for the penalties. Now people are criticising him for that. He did it against Pompey, running around all over the place before the penalty kick. So he does look to have a touch of that kind of Iron Brew mad Scottishness about him in goals.
About him. Never before have I heard the Iron Brew before, but I absolutely love it. Let's talk about the team then, because we mentioned that we need clean sheets. We need to shore up that back line. We don't want to concede as many goals, but you don't want to lose what Warburton's side is. If they start playing in a way that's not him or not in that style, you know, it's about that counterbalance, isn't it, Gareth?
I think it's a bit lazy just to look at the back four in isolation. I think Don Ball has come in and done a good job-ish, but I don't think he's as mobile and as good on the ball, and I think there's a little bit of a trust issue there with the players around him as well. They're kind of like waiting for him to make a mistake, and I think we need a little bit more break-up in front of him. We need to defend on the front foot. Eze's done amazingly well, but I still think that we need to defend higher up the pitch and further away from our goal, because we haven't got a lot of pace back there either.
Though also, like, Kelly trying to play out from the back, just it looked forced last week, and it terrified me. They were trying to do it just for the sake of it, whereas occasionally, you know, I'm all for it if it works, but also occasionally they were doing it for the sake of it. You need to just play a long ball, and Lumley is a bit awkward doing it. Kelly's seems very awkward, you know, and then we almost gave away another ridiculous goal.
It's the new fad, isn't it? Playing out from the back. I'm not a fan of it. Depends who's trying to do it. Everyone's trying to do the City plan out from the back or the Munich thing. I'm not huge on it.
When it works and when you can control it,
you have to have the personnel go.
Listen, I think the thing to say about QPR this season compared to other seasons is the confidence to be on the ball for the majority. I've just called out Don Ball there. Even him, he's happy to get on the ball and show for it. No one's shying away from it. I think the West Brom game is the only time we've had less possession than another team this season. And that says something. We going away from home and having that amount of possession, it doesn't win you the football match, but I'd rather have the ball and then like learn about kind of being a bit savvy in our own box, you know, and defending a bit dirtier and harder than we have been, than not having the ball and chasing our tails for the game, because we've done that for loads of years. So let's have the ball and see what we can do with it for a change.
It is a refreshing change from last year when we were playing Smith up front and all we were doing is belting up at points, and the season before just belting up to him, hoping he's going to win a header. He was often flicking it onto no one. So it's way better to watch, but it's also like heart in mouth times a lot of the time, just watching them try and play out every time. Sometimes you just like... it's nerve-wracking.
This is where the drama comes from, because they don't have many draws, QPR, so there's action either way. We're going to be talking all about that, but we will be looking at those games with Cardiff and Blackburn next and giving them a proper review.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Ranger Things podcast, Gav Lawson and Gareth Dixon. And you can get involved, and you have been tonight, and we want to hear from more of you. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. You can also WhatsApp on that same number. But let's look at those games now. We have to start with a disappointing one. It was Cardiff in the week. It was 3-0. A scoreline, as we've said, it flattered them. They are unbeaten at home. But still, though, QPR should have got something out of the game. Hit the woodwork twice. Possession, chances, just wasn't to be. Was it a bad night at the office, Gareth? Or where did it go wrong?
Well, I think it went wrong with just... you look at Cardiff centre-halves in Morrison and Flint, and I think sometimes that's what you need in a championship is, as I said just before the break, is that kind of game savvy, that nouse to kind of get you through in both boxes. And the second goal, the first goal Morrison got himself, the second goal was bad marking. I think they just caused so much angst in the defence, being two monsters to go and defend against. And in the other box as well, they were a lot sharper than, you know, they were stronger defending away from goal. And we haven't had someone like that, I think, probably since kind of Clint Hill. Weird day at the office. I've never seen a game with 71% possession looking at 3-0. I just couldn't understand what was kind of going on. It was cheap goals. And you can't, as I said, you can't come back from that, really. You can't, against the Warnock side, if you give them goals, it's a long way back. And we didn't have enough about us. And there was a little bit of maybe a hangover from the West Brom game as well, where the young boys were expected to do it against seasoned pros. And it's a big ask, and especially to do that away at Cardiff, and especially when Eze's chance doesn't go in. That changes everything as well. Goals change the games massively. And Eze scoring that goal would have been 1-1 just for half-time. Instead, we go 2-2 and long way back.
A long way back, Gav.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if they'd come out of it with a 1-0 victory against 71% possession, then that would have been a decent result for them, but it definitely flattered them. Cardiff actually had 5 ex-QPR players in their squad, and unfortunately the only one that was in the side was Smithies, and we all know how good he is.
Mm. And an ex-QPR manager.
So 6 altogether. But yeah, I mean, we've seen Warnock do that hundreds of times, well, many times when he was at Rangers, but he'd normally scrounge it by one goal. So that was, yeah, it was a very weird game, and that would never happen again, I think, 3-0 with 71%.
It was a strange one because obviously we're talking about possession, the chances, and Mark Warburton saying he felt like he went to say we played really well, which QPR did really play well. But can QPR learn something from Cardiff in this game? Just about, riding their luck at times. I know QPR didn't take their chances, but we said, they've got to shore up, not concede the goals, exactly what Cardiff didn't do. Just getting those wins, those, I don't want to say ugly wins, but professional wins, when they're up against it, just backs to the wall, getting those wins. Can QPR learn something from that game maybe, Gareth?
They have to learn something from that game. They have to take the chances. It's been all season where they've not taken them chances, and it's just changed the shape of the game a little bit. I think it's very difficult to do without the personnel, and I think we've got a few conundrums coming up with the likes of Lee Wallace now backing in around it. He is your kind of season pro. He's done it at Rangers, and he's been in those kind of atmospheres where he can potentially drag you through and share his kind of game experience. Rangel can do it at times. Cameron's coming, but I think Cameron's not looked as good as he did last season, and he's been shunted from centre back to centre mid. So I think we're missing just a little bit of experience just to kind of get the guys going. I think Barbe and Leissner have done okay at times. Leissner's done really well considering he was kind of exiled, but it's only his second season in English football. Mm. There is something around playing in England and being in these leagues, playing 46 games, Saturday, Tuesday. There has to be some mentality, there's some psychology around that, as well as being technically gifted like Chair, Easy, Bright, say Samuel. There it needs to be some savvy, some game now, and Warnock's the best exponent of getting his team to have that. And when we won the league with Turat being probably the best player the Championship's ever seen, not being biased, of course, Sean Derry and Clint Hill were the foundation of that team. And they knew how to drag you through games. And they knew how to kind of get onto the referee in the right way sometimes, get against the other players, pull people in the right, in defending in corners and stuff. And those game smarts, they're not always kind of championed, but they are needed in the English Championship 46-game season.
They absolutely are, Gav. Hard not to agree with Gareth there.
No, I agree. And I keep banging on about it, but I think Grant Hall is going to be the key to our defence. I mean, we should have learnt against West Brom, but there were some glaring mistakes also against Blackburn. I mean, the second goal that they scored was just, there was no one anywhere near him, so unmarked. We had a warning 10 minutes before their first goal, which was offside marginally, but I mean, he was in acres of space. The penalty again, Barbe, I mean, he had to make that challenge. I think Warburton afterwards was sticking up for him because he was saying, if he hadn't made that challenge, then everyone would have been asking why. But again, there's a lot of space. But we need to really tighten up at the back, and hopefully when Hall comes back, that's going to happen, because the rest of the defence is looking good. I do worry about Barbe, really. He's got a mistake in him every game.
Well, we're talking about the game of Cardiff. Let's talk more about that brilliant victory on the weekend to Blackburn. It was 4-2, and I've got to admit, speaking to Blackburn before this game, they were really up for it. They're doing reasonably well under Mowbray. They're a team that really want to get into that playoffs, you know, after talking about the Championship quality this year. They feel like they can. They were coming down to QPR with a lot of confidence, but you dispatched that very early on, scoring, going up, you know, it was a good show of character to come back after those two defeats and with no goals to then score four goals and put Blackburn to the sword, really, let's be honest. Is that how you felt, Gareth?
Yeah, I think it was a kind of a comfortable victory after that first third of the game, that first half hour, and well scored. And it was a lovely goal. It was, say, 19-20 passes. And I thought that Blackburn came for the battle. They pressed really intensely in our half of the pitch. They went kind of man for man, and I think we had a bit of quality to get us out of there. I think Rangel came back into the side, which was a smart move, and a two in the midfield as well. Scowan, I thought, had a better game than he has done this season, and for a while potentially. And we managed to move the ball, play out from the back, and we did it with some success. And Blackburn couldn't really keep up with that. I think for them as well, Brady Dack is a quality player. But Danny Graham was up at front on his own in the first half. He looked a bit of a busted flush, really, compared to what he did to us last season and normally does against us. He normally scores every single time. So I think they kind of faltered a little bit on the day, and they didn't have enough personnel to get them through. And we played well. You know, we were much the stronger side. We looked like the team in ascendancy, but we had to kind of manage the game in that first bit to get to that stage. We had to be patient. We had to take our chances when they came, and that was a difference. We did.
Yeah, and also, I mean, after half an hour or before the first goal went in, it never looked like it was six goals in that game. It looked like it was going to be a 1-0 or a 1-1. And it took, I was chatting to my mate Mark sat next to me. I was saying, they're being more patient, you know. They weren't snatching at things. Eze has got a lot of, he's matured a lot. So as before, he'd be looking to kind of try and go past players unnecessarily. Perhaps he was just maintaining, keeping possession. And it was a very patient and very mature performance, I thought, because, you know, when we actually got that first goal and then we got the second goal, they weren't trying to rush it and they weren't panicking. And then the floodgates kind of opened. So, I mean, it's just as well that we can score four in a game, because when we're defending like we did at times. But I think that there's a lot more maturity in this side than there was earlier this season as well.
Definitely. And you're beating sides that are chasing for the playoff places themselves. A great scalp there against Blackburn. Let's talk about Rangel then. Is he won his place back in the side? Because after Kane's not so great performances, is this Rangel's position there?
I think Kane, for me, we were talking about it before the show, and I was going to ask Dan as well. I think Kane, for me, has been the biggest disappointment. If you can have the biggest disappointment this close early on in the season, he came with a big reputation. There's rumours that Chelsea would have kind of offered another contract, did well at Hull. I could probably say the same about Mark Pugh, but he really hasn't had the game time to kind of really criticise him too much and has looked good at times.
I thought he would have made more of an impression so far, but the team's doing
early on,
better than expected.
He did. He was getting high. He looked rapid. But the West Brom game was, like, honestly one of the worst performances I've seen, like, at a fullback, just in terms of technical ability, giving the ball away, rash choices. And he looked a bit like, you know, rabbit in the headlights. And I thought, quite, this geezer was rated at Chelsea. He's not a young guy. He's 25-ish and he's been on loan. So, and you got someone like Rangel, but it's a bit of a fail-safe, really, signing Rangel. It's a bit of a smart signing, not just for what he brings you off the pitch, but you can throw him in there and he is a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's a lot of the players in the side, it's their spot to lose. You know, we've spoken about Manning and how good he is, and how he, you know, if he has a couple of bad games, then maybe someone else is going to, maybe Wallace is going to come in for him. But I mean, you know, Kane's not played particularly well. He showed glimmers, but then we've got a perfect match, perfect replacement for him in Rangel, and we have cover all over the place, which is good to see. But I mean, you know, most of the squad are playing really well. Most of the team are playing really well, and so it's really up to them to lose their spots, really. Otherwise, it's very difficult to justify dropping anyone at the moment.
Well, it is up to them. It is the international break, so the games, there is a week off, then they come back to Hull. Next, we're going to be looking at how QPR go into this international break and how they fare so far at this small point in the season.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport Radio. I'm in the studio with a range of things podcast, Gav Lawson and Gareth Dixon. We've been talking everything where where the R's are concerned. Those two games, the game against Cardiff and the victory against Blackburn. Delighted to say we've had tweets in, we've had callers. Been great interaction this evening. But now, though, we look towards the next set of fixtures because it is an international break. Always nice to go into that second international break with a victory under your belt. You can work on things. The confidence, the momentum will carry over. First question, what do QPR need to work on in that time? And secondly, looking at those fixtures, how do you feel about them? For the rest of October, Hull away, Reading at home, Reading aren't doing great, and then Brentford in a massive Monday night game to finish the month of October. Gareth, I'll start with you.
Hull has never been, for me, a happy hunting ground. I think that we were speaking about Blackburn in the break, being a bogey side, not beating them since 20 years.
20 years, sorry, I should have started that. Yeah,
that was me,
I
Link.
Can't believe
that. Link, Charlie, I'll do that bit. Sorry. Leave that to me, mate. You've had a long day. But Hull's, for me, has not been a happy hunting ground. And I think even the year we went up, they beat us when we had a chance to go up, didn't they? 2-0.
Yeah.
I think in the Premier League, they beat us on opening day of the season. It's just, the whole seems to be a team like another bogey side. I mean, they're all bogey sides.
We have a lot of bogey sides.
I think Reading sacked their manager today, or about to sack their manager.
They're about to. I spoke to Nicholas Tunney from the Reading Chronicle.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah, Nick. He told me, I said, what's going on with the manager situation? He said, no, he won't go. We're giving him time. Bowen, director of football, you know, he's going to sort out. He'll at least get to Christmas. We finished off there, and then it looks like he might be going today.
Him, Barnsley, yeah. Manager going.
Today's news, yesterday's fish and chip paper.
The way we're playing though, Charlie, looking at that with these three games, they all look winnable for us, but
completely.
QPR being what we are, now the wheels are going to come off, aren't they? I mean,
because of the TV games as well.
Yeah, because they're TV games. We're never too particularly well on TV, and it's, you know, I mean, Hull, we should, with our away form this season and their form, they've been drawing a lot, we should get at least a point. We should smash Reading at home.
Oh yeah,
we should. But you know, this is QPR, exactly. And then Brentford, we just never do well against. But we beat them last.
Well, I was going to say it's Monday night game, so I'm assuming that will be another game on TV, won't it? Has to be.
We got a few. We got Reading
on TV, Tuesday,
Brentford.
Mate. So we won't be here to see you next Tuesday, mate.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So there's a few on TV which are going to be tricky. We got Nottingham Forest and Fulham coming up next month on TV. So it'll be, this is the thing, I think we need to remember that QPR aside in their infancy under Warburton, and he's done a heck of a job to get him to where he's got in such a short time. And there's still work to do, as we've discussed. What that work is probably defensively, isn't it? We can't really get away from that. No clean sheets and having a negative goal difference in the top half of the table.
Well, the obvious things, but they're the things he needs to be working on in this international break, because obviously no clean sheets, just to shore it up, like we've said. And has it come at the right time, if there is a right time for international breaks, Gareth?
Yeah, it's hard to say, because we've got the win back now, which I was pleased to get at home, because I felt that we've struggled at home. We've been better on the road at times, the Sheffield Wednesday game and other games. It feels that the formation and the style was set up for away from home, but that's on the back of the Cardiff defeat as well. So is it at the right time? I think it's good to get more, you know, Lee Wallace a bit more match fit, and maybe then you can use Mann in a different way. And that's what might happen, which will be potentially unfortunate, because you're taking him out of left back and losing his attacking threat. But maybe he's the one to add the defensiveness in the centre mid, and Wallace is the one to.
We've got so much cover for that position.
Amos,
I mean,
coming
got,
in.
Got, you know, Smith can do that. Ball, Cameron, they can all do that. I think it's a. I don't think we can drop him. I don't think we can move Manning from that position at the moment. He's creating so much.
Yeah, I agree. And he's put nearly three assists on. You can quite credit to him on Saturday. I think it's that two in the midfield, that one or the two. If there's two in there, like Dan says, it gives you more options, and there's more. We got the personnel, but that for me is what is potentially not protecting the back four. It's always easy to say Barbe, Leisner, but it's just they're not getting enough protection, I feel, from the midfield.
Gareth, earlier you said that I was getting carried away myself with QPR's form. Maybe I was getting a little bit excited. When will there be a milestone in the season that maybe, if this continues and QPR there or thereabouts in the playoffs, when will you allow yourself to get ahead of yourself? Will it be Christmas? Will
Easter.
It be Easter?
Easter.
Gav?
Yeah, no, I mean, Christmas, you know, the wheels normally come off for us just after Christmas. No, I mean, it was last season.
Well, it's Leeds after
so
Brentford.
Well.
It's a tough four
games.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those, you know, the Championship, you lose a couple. And I mean, what was nice, I think, was after those two defeats, I mean, the manner, as we've discussed, the manner of the Cardiff defeat, if that had been a 3-0 and we hadn't been at the races, that would be more concerning. But the fact they came back, and what I think this was a really important one, the Blackburn game, just for their confidence. Because if you look at it and go, we've won 4 and then we've lost 3, that looks, you know, swings and roundabouts. But actually, you know, we could have been in it at Cardiff. And then we've come back and won again. And last time we had an international break, Warburton was saying, no, they're all going to take some time off and relax, because it doesn't look like they need a lot of work on the training ground, because they seem well-drilled and they know what they're doing. So I think it's about giving those players that are coming back the opportunity to recover.
Let's quickly talk about the fact that QPR don't seem to draw anymore. Sometimes it's not a bad thing if you know you're winning maybe the majority of them games, but the games where you are up against it and you're not battling for the point, as Gav said earlier, these are the points that could propel you into those playoff positions. Is it just a weird stat that draws will come? It's a weird thing that we want draws. We don't, but we do want draws when the games you're losing.
I think it's the freedom and the lack of pressure for the points that the early wins have got us. You know, we're not battling and scrapping for to get those 1 point, you know, those nil-nils. You know, there's not that urgency. We're in a position that we didn't think we're going to be in. So there's almost kind of a liberalism to the way we're approaching things. It's like, well, if we lose 3-0 at Cardiff, we lose 3-0 at Cardiff. We should take our chances. We should dominate the possession like we did and use it better. You know, and then if we win some games that we shouldn't win the way we do, 4-2 didn't flatter us at Blackburn, but... You know, 4 goals and another day we wouldn't have scored any. So there's no pressure. It feels like with freedom.
Well, I just want to quickly ask as well, because we are running out of time, but Wells, he's claiming he wants to sign permanently. Can QPR afford his wages? And is this a signing that they should make, Gav?
Well, I'd like to keep him on loan for the next 2 years and get Burnley to carry on paying his wages, to be honest. His wages are the big stumbling block. Yeah. We've obviously got some money in the coffers from that centre-back we were trying to sign.
Yeah, Kevin
Gallagher
mentioned that. We've got 3 mil flushing around, apparently.
We've got some money kicking about. I don't know. I mean, I think we'd probably have to sell. So the thing is, if we're going to start paying his wages, then the wage structure is going to go completely out the window, isn't it? And we've only finally managed to get it under control.
And I think the thing to say as well about the strike, there's no one coming through. You know, Otto's on loan again and not really playing again, which is another strange loan deal. Mm-hmm. Lewis Walker came in last year, dropped off the face of the earth. There's no one really pushing. There's one or two youngsters, probably a little bit too young, that we've got on the bench and stuff. But so that's an issue that we're going to have to replace Wells and Hugel next season. But and I'll take them while they're here, you know.
The thing is, you know, you could spend your whole budget on a couple of good quality strikers and their wages. And I think we've worked the loan system really well this season. And, you know, we were saying it last year, what we really need next year is a couple of really good loan strikers. And we did that pretty well last year with Wells. And then Hemed didn't do a lot. Wells was great the first half of the season. This season, it looks completely different ballgame because Wells is firing on all cylinders. Hugel's scoring a lot of goals, even if he doesn't do a hell of a lot else. And you know, that's where the big money goes, isn't it, on strikers? So if we can continue using the loan system properly, then I think...
Careful with that loan system, though. You get players, you get a great return, then they go off and leave, and you're almost rebuilding again from the start. A little bit like what Derby have been doing, and they've been struggling in the Championship season, and they always use that loan market so well. Well, this has been the QPR Fan Show and Love Sport Radio with the Range of Things podcast. Gareth Dixon and Gav Lawson, and thank you for tweeting us, calling us. We really appreciate all the interaction. As always, you can join the QPR Fan Show every Tuesday, 9 to 10, right here on Love Sport Radio. But up next, it is Leicester City Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.